all stand together. Father, we lift up your name this morning. Worthy is your name. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his precious blood that cleanses from all sin and washes us clean and white. Thank you that we can be here today, having our hearts clean and pure before you, and knowing that you are on the throne interceding for us. Lord, would you just come and be with us here in this service. Break the bread of life to us in a fresh and new way. And Father, may we grow by it and learn from it and be changed, Lord. We want to be changed more into your image and likeness. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. We just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, greetings this morning in Jesus' name. It's good to see all of you. It's good to be here with you today. Some of you, our paths go way back, way, way back. For others of you, it's pretty fresh. And some of you, I don't know. So come and introduce yourself. That'd be a blessing. We're glad to be with you here as a family. And just want to hear what the Lord has for us today is what my desire is for us. If you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of James, we're going to kind of use one of the verses out of James here this morning. I wasn't quite sure how to approach this subject, but maybe like Jesus did many times, he would ask questions, and I think it's a good way to maybe approach this subject here this morning, is by asking questions, maybe to start off with. The book of James in the first chapter talks about temptations, and I wondered if there was anyone here this week that had a temptation. Any of you have any temptations this week? And how many would be willing to share what that was? There'd be somebody here that'd be willing to share what that temptation was. Over here, yes. Yes. Sure. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. That's good. That's a real temptation. Was there someone else? Did I miss somebody? Temptation. Yes. Thank you for sharing that. It's good. Someone from this section. Temptation. Oh, no one did on this side? You're all above that? While you think about it, I'll share one that I had on Friday. We were doing some excavation work, and you know how the day was on Friday. It wasn't very friendly to the excavators. And it wasn't really supposed to rain that much, according to the forecasters. But the Lord saw different. And where we were, it was pretty continuous rain for a long time. And, well, it seemed like we were only supposed to get 1 or 2 tenths, maybe. It felt like we got 5 or 6, maybe an inch, the boys thought. But it was just kind of miserable. And I was tempted to kind of have a grumbling, complaining spirit. And that's real, isn't it? Those things are real. Yeah, someone over here. You can all go at once. Yes. Tempted to anger. Thank you for sharing that. These are very real things for us. Maybe someone can tell me this morning what it takes to be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, I don't think he means here that we don't have any temptation anymore, but something that makes us perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Does anyone know what's before that? Patience. Patience. That's good. Let patience have her perfect work. Let's read in James chapter 1, verse 1, first four verses. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. I think he was writing here to the converted Jews here out of the 12 tribes. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Now that diverse temptations isn't talking about going underwater. It's talking about different kinds of temptations like we were talking about right here. The different temptations that we face. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So we just want to take a little time here this morning and consider what it means here to let patience have her perfect work in our own lives. And it's a pretty powerful truth because of what it's going to do in our lives. That you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. So, I wonder if we would all agree together that this thing of being perfect and entire, wanting nothing, would that be something that God would really want for each one of us? I think it would be. I think he's lifting it up here. So he prefaces it with, let patience have her perfect work, so that we can be this way. So how does that look? Now, I don't particularly enjoy falling into temptations. I don't know if you do or not. I sure don't particularly enjoy that. Falling into temptations. And I don't really enjoy having my faith tried either. I like when the equipment works and it's not breaking down. I like when things go as I planned them. I like when the sun shines. And I like when it's pleasant outdoors. And I like when the family does what's expected. And when supper's ready when I get home. Does it always go that way? It sure doesn't. It doesn't always go that way. And how do we respond to these different situations that come? This is the burden of the message here this morning, right here. Could there be a chance that God sends things our way? And he has this beautiful plan that he has in mind for the reason he's sending these things. To make us complete. That's what the word perfect means. Complete. Entire. Wanting nothing. And we just sort of blow it. We respond wrong. We get upset, frustrated, angry, blame others. When God is trying to do something in our lives to make us complete, entire, wanting nothing. The very avenue that God brings our way to make us this perfect, entire, wanting nothing is what we end up fighting against. So how is God supposed to do his work in my life when I'm resisting what he's sending? Does that make sense? And you can put your own temptations in there, the frustrations, the anger, or the whatever it is, put it in there for your own, you know, health challenges, whatever it is. We can put it all in there. Parenting, just struggles that we have. God is trying to bring us to a place of completeness. Let patience have her perfect work. Here's some synonyms to the word patience. Forbearance, discipline, long-suffering. We find that numerous times in Scripture. We'll look at that. Tolerance, obedience, suffering. You know, patience and suffering are synonymous to each other. Enduring. The Greek means, this word patience in the Greek is cheerful or hopeful endurance. That was the original language there. Cheerful or hopeful endurance. Let patience have her perfect work. That word perfect work is one word in the Greek. It means complete. Complete. Mentally or moral character of full age is also noted there. So I'd like to look at four different things here this morning concerning letting patience have her perfect work. The first thing I'd like to look at is, I think it's good for us to understand God's patience and how long-suffering God is. Because when we understand that, it helps us to know how to respond ourselves. So we want to look at that. Secondly, we'd like to look at, does God's patience ever run out? And thirdly, do we need patience? And then fourthly, how do we go about growing in patience? So coming back to God's patience, I think we would all recognize that God is a very patient God. Or at least I found it that way. That God is very, very patient with us. Moses found God that way. He met God on Mount Sinai. Up there in the mountain, he went up there a couple times to meet with God. And one of the times he was up there, God passed by him. And he saw the hinder part of God. And this is what he says about it in Exodus 34, verse 6. And the Lord passed by before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. So if we consider the things that King David went through, just think about what David went through with Saul. And his friend Jonathan, how they stuck it out together. And then his sin with Bathsheba. You know, David knew God as a God who is long-suffering. This is what he says in Psalm 86, verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Noah experienced God's patience as well. We know how that Noah was asked to build the ark to the saving of his house. And how many of you know how long it took for Noah to build the ark? After God had showed him that he was going to destroy the earth with a flood, how long did it take for Noah from that point to build the ark? 100? Well, it actually doesn't say. But when we do the math, it was 120 years from the time that Noah, I believe, began to begat sons. And when God came and said he was going to destroy the earth with a flood. So somewhere in that span of time. Some would argue it was maybe 5 or 10 years that it took to actually build the ark. That's not here what we're trying to discuss here this morning. We could have patience with each other, right? If we vary a little bit, if it's 75 years or 60 years or 5 or 10 or whatever we want to say. But it was somewhere in that time frame of 120 years that Noah was building the ark. Now just think about this. God had seen the wickedness of man 120 years before he ever sent the flood. And he said, I can't stand it. I'm going to have to do something. Noah, you're going to have to build a boat. Now, isn't that a patient God? That's more than our lifetime. Is there somebody in your life that's been irritating you your entire life? I hope it's not your spouse. That would be awful. I'm going to read this, what was written about Noah in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 to 20. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. God suffered long. God was very long-suffering in the days of Noah. And I think we see that long-suffering also in our day today. We see the same things taking place. Let me read out of Romans chapter 2, verse 2 to 4. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And he had given a list there, and we didn't read that. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and dost the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? This thought here is that it's the goodness and the forbearance and the long-suffering of God that leads us to repent. Of what? Of our wrongdoings. Of our sinfulness. Of how we have sinned against God. It's the goodness and forbearance and long-suffering of God. Something we didn't say in the beginning when we were reading here in James. And let's just reflect back there just a little bit, and it's up here on the board as well, but it says, but let patience have her perfect work. let. Now, you school teachers, tell me something of a definition for that word, L-E-T. Let. Allow. Is that what you were going to say over here? Yeah, allow. Allow. Well, does that mean it's on God's side or does that mean it's on my side to do something about it? It's on my side. It's a choice that we have to let patience have her perfect work. Do I allow God to bring into my life the things that will make me complete, entire, wanting nothing? Romans 15, verse 5. And now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. Paul calls God the God of patience. The God of patience. I don't know what your experience is with God. Do you find God patient in your own life? Do you find Him long-suffering? I've had to ask myself this. Where would I be if God treated me like I treat others in this area of patience? You see, sometimes we as red-blooded creatures of humanity, we have these things that boil in us, that rub us the wrong way. And we become short off with our family, with our friends, with those who are irritating us. We distance ourselves. We carry an attitude. How would we fare if God did that to us? Just think about that in light of letting patience have her perfect work. Secondly, does God's patience ever run out? Will He always be long-suffering? Well, that could be a question that could probably be answered both ways, in the positive and the negative. That yes, God is long-suffering. He'll always be that way because He is that way. But we also have Scripture that teaches us that it won't always be that way. Even though I think God in His character is patient and long-suffering, there is a point in time of a crossroads. Let me read some of them to you. We find it, we talked about Noah and the flood. Genesis 6, verse 3. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh." That was pre-flood. Man was exceedingly sinful, and God sent the flood of waters back then. He said, "My spirit will not always strive with man." In other words, I will not always be patient with their ungodliness. Psalm 103, 7 to 10. He made known His ways unto Moses and His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. You see, we have both sides here. We have God's faithfulness in being patient with mankind and patient with our fumblings and falterings and struggles and things like that. And yet, there's a time coming when God says, "I will not always chide with you." Maybe some of you have been resisting the voice of God in your life. You know your heart's not right with God. There's sin in your life. And you're just holding back. God will not always chide. Just bear that in mind. That's why he says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Micah chapter 7, verse 18, not a chapter we read out of very much. But it says this, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? So there we have it again. God is long-suffering and patient, passing by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. Then he goes on, he says, he retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. It's so intertwined into each other that, yes, God is patient, yes, God is long-suffering, but there's a day coming when it's not going to be that way. When God is going to have to bring justice. And that's part of the holiness of God. I think that's where that comes in, is that's the holiness of God. He cannot tolerate iniquity and sin. Again, the question, how patient has God been with me and you? Just think about what God has been trying to teach us, maybe sometimes for years. And he tries in different ways. He sends things in different ways. And it's a shame that maybe we just get a little bit. It's a shame, but I'm afraid I have to confess that sometimes I just get a little bit of what God is really trying to teach me. And it's sometimes been a long time. I was just reminded sitting there this morning that, oh, this is May. So it was 43 years ago this month that I gave my life to the Lord and repented of my sin. Makes me feel old, but that's how it was. It's been worth it. But I feel like God's still working on me in so many areas. How much have I grasped? How much have I let patience have her perfect work in my life? Thirdly, do we need patience? The heads are going this way, not this way. They're going up and down. Yes, we need patience. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded. I think we do well to note that. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Not just your friends. Not just those who kind of tickle you and scratch your back the right way. But be patient toward all men. Is patience a natural part of our fabric? I have seen some people that I marvel at. I know they don't even profess Christianity, and they have developed this thing of patience beyond where I'm at. Now that's challenging. Because I think God can give us the patience that we really need. Be patient toward all men. Why do we let our feathers get ruffled? That's a figure of speech, but why do we let our feathers get ruffled? You know, most times it's over things a lot smaller than the challenge that I have been to God. Most times, the things that ruffle my feathers are things that are much smaller than what I have been to God, and that God has had to have patience with me in. Paul here is speaking to Timothy about the love of money in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. He mentions this word in this list here of things that we should follow after. says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. He was talking about the love of money there. And he says, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. When you follow after somebody, or you follow after something, what has to happen in order for me to follow this thing? Does it not have to become my focus? It has to become my focus to follow after something. If we are called to follow after Christ, then he becomes our focus. And we follow him. And he lists a whole list of things we are to follow after. We could take each one of these and break them down. We could have probably how many messages? 6 or 7 here? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love. Today we're talking about patience. Letting patience have her perfect work. Also here in Ephesians 4, the first 2 verses, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. He mentions, I think, that also in Colossians, I believe it is, talking about walking worthy. How do we walk worthy of the Lord? I think one place he says, walking worthy of the Lord in all pleasing, I think he says. How do we do that, walking worthy of the Lord? He says here that it's to be with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. And then he brings another word in here, forbearing one another in love. And when we forbear, we're also showing patience. Forbearing one another in love. It's part of walking worthy to be long suffering and forbearing. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 13, there's 7 ingredients here to patience. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. That's a big one. When we're dealing with patience, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and then he adds another one in here, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now just before this, in verse number 8 of this Colossians chapter 3, he gives us a list of things that we should put off. Now, if I had my jacket along this morning and I was wearing it and I wanted to take it off, what would I do? I might unzip it and I would put my arms out of it and I would throw it aside, right? We would take it off. So when he gives us this list of things to take off, that means we're wearing it, right? Or that means that it is our common tendency. It's probably one of the first tendencies that we have. When something goes wrong, when there's a temptation, when there's a hardship, when there's a trial, the brother mentioned discouragement. You know, it's a temptation. And it's something that comes with us. And we put it off. But here, in verse 7, he says we should put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Because we're children of God, we should put something on. And to me, that means that there's something that I don't have naturally. I have to actually reach out and put it on. And he mentions patience. He mentions long-suffering, actually. And forbearing one another and forgiving one another. not necessarily something that's natural and easy to do. We won't spend a lot of time here on the seven ingredients to patience, but you go home and you study that for yourself and come back and think it through. When we let patience have her perfect work, I think these seven ingredients are going to be there. Mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, not thinking ourselves too, you know, like we're really somebody. Everybody has to bark to, or walk to my tune, you know, jump, how high should I jump, you know, that kind of thing. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Coming back to this putting off, tell me, how does anger usually come? So it's impatience, yes. But, okay, there's different trigger points, right? There's different things that can ignite anger. So, but how does it usually display itself? Does it come like slowly, or does it come quickly, or what would you say? How does anger usually come? David, how does anger usually come? Quickly. Quickly. Well, that's how I found anger. Quickly. Comes fast. They even call it a short fuse sometimes. The explosion is quick. Without thinking. Boom, we explode. We sit down to breakfast. We're running a little low on milk this morning. And Sally accidentally spills her whole glass. Boom. What happens? How do we respond to that? Or we're running late for church. Johnny can't find his shoes again or his coat. No, if he'd have just put them where they belong, he could find them every time. That's true. But how do we respond to those things? Or supper's not ready, and I've got an important meeting I need to get to. How do I respond? Or Sally just isn't getting her math in school, and she's not applying herself. We're having to spend so much time with her. There's so many other things that need my attention. And this thing inside begins to rise up. Or maybe it's at work. Somebody's just getting on your nerves. They're just doing things, probably just purposefully to irritate you. Yeah. Yeah, and that happens sometimes. But you know how we judge those motives sometimes? He's doing those things just to irritate me. And we let things build up. And then our attitude comes spilling out. And we let things slip that needed to be actually put off. I don't know that I have the verse here, but the Bible, maybe I do later. I don't think so. But there's a verse that talks about anger. Yes, there in Colossians it talks about putting it off. And I think it's Ephesians that tells us to be slow to anger. I always like to think of that. Or actually, yeah, the word putting off has the idea of putting something off. We tend to do that with other things, you know. We should have been cleaning the windows, you know, how many days ago. They're all dirty, and we should be cleaning them, and we just don't get to it. We put it off, all right? Let's do that to anger. Or Ephesians, to be slow to anger. Think about it a while, because anger comes quickly. Just stop, think about it a while. Is this really how I want to be? Most times I think we would all say, you know, that's not really how I want to be. Letting patience have her perfect work. How can we let patience have her perfect work? How do we go about growing in patience? That's our last point here this morning. And in its patience, we know in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, patience is a virtue. And to knowledge, he's talking about adding to our faith. To knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. You see, when we let patience have her perfect work in us, the production or the fruit of it is going to be godliness. God-likeness. When we let patience have her perfect work. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. How do we go about growing in patience? Well, God sees that. And God sends us things that try our faith. God sends us things that try our faith. And just like we said earlier, there's different temptations. Yours is not the same as mine. What you would get frustrated over, I might not. And just the list goes on of the differences. You know, the trying of our faith worketh patience. How does our faith get tried? Isn't it often through suffering, through testings, fires, literally or spiritually, hardships? You know, if it always goes the way I want it to, do you think we need much patience? If it always goes the way I want it to go. If it always goes that way, I won't need to exercise myself in patience. Romans 5, verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Just think with me about the Apostle Paul. He has a list of things that he mentions, the Apostle Paul does. Let me just name a few of them. But the Apostle Paul went through some really hardships, a lot of hardships in his ministry. And I think the Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about when he says, tribulation worketh patience. Beaten with rods 5 times of his own people. Stoned. Shipwrecked. Weariness often, he says. Hungry and thirsty. Painfulness. Fasting, colds. That's just a partial list of the things that the Apostle Paul mentioned about the tribulations that he was going through. And Paul says these things in our lives work patience. You see, we don't like these things. We fight against them. Ah. In Romans 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I think that is the way to get through our hardships, continuing instant in prayer. How about being instant in prayer versus instant in anger? That would help us, wouldn't it? That would help us, being instant in prayer. And I know somebody that used to do that. They struggled with that. They struggled with anger. Maybe it was with their children. And they were instant in prayer. When that started happening, they gathered the family together. Come, children. Mama's going through a hard time. She gets down on her knees with the rest of them and lets them pray for Mama. Because Mama is struggling with anger. And she doesn't want to be there. Instant in prayer. Giving you some tools. How to gain ground in this area of patience. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Now ponder that with me a little bit. When you're buffeted or your faults are pointed out, how do we respond? If you're buffeted for your faults and you know it's true and you take it patiently, well, that's a blessing, isn't it? Just acknowledge, yeah, that was me. That is me. You hit the nail right on the head by what you said. How I respond, or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's gluttony. Whatever. And somebody points it out. Yeah, that's me. And we take it patiently. That's good. That's acceptable. But what glory is that? What if we do well and we suffer for it? And you take it patiently. He says this is acceptable with God. Letting patience have her perfect work. You know, sometimes people will point out a need that we have. Maybe it is a fault that we have. What is my response? How can I be exercised in letting patience have her perfect work? Maybe it was God himself that pointed that thing out through a brother in my life. That happened to me already. Someone pointed something out in my life. We were kind of in a setting when the heat was kind of up around the table, and we were pretty intense about what was happening. I'm not going to give you all the details, but I'll tell you what that man said to me. I had made, I think, one comment, one sentence. And he turned around and said, "You are defensive. You're defending yourself. You're defensive." Well, how do I respond to that? Did I take that? At first, I was just like, well, the rest can determine that, can decide that. Maybe they can help me see that. Because I wasn't seeing it in what I shared. But you know, that very thing is what God used. Today, I can look back at that and say, thank you, brother. Thank you for saying that to me, because it helped me. I let patience have its perfect work there in my own life, in that area. Am I ever defensive? Yeah, I'm still working on it. But those are things that God can use to help us. When people point something out to us, let's be humble enough to receive it and to take it patiently and not react to those things. Even if it's not true, oftentimes it may not even be the full truth. And I think that situation was that way. It probably wasn't the full truth of what he was saying. But even if it was 10% true, I want to receive it and grow by it and let patience have its perfect work. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, he says this: strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Now he adds that not only should we be letting patience have its perfect work in the midst of our struggle, in the midst of those obstacles that are difficult for us, but he says, do it with joyfulness. Do it with joyfulness. Long-suffering with joyfulness. You know, our attitude has so much to do with this thing of growing in patience. Our attitude. We know Job went through a lot of hardships, didn't he? That just reminds me of something right now, and you've probably heard it, but there was a man in Pennsylvania just not that long ago that had a tremendous hardship, very similar to Job's, but beyond. Some of you know where I'm going with that. But this man had a wife and how many children? Three? Five? Can't remember. Six? We're not sure. Six. Six children. He lost it. Lost all of them through an explosion, house fire. Tremendous, tremendous challenge. And Job went through hardships, didn't he? In James chapter 5, verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. How do we grow in patience? If we can do it with joyfulness and a cheerful spirit. Job seemingly went through those things, and Job went through hard things. But he saw what God wanted to do somehow. And I think it helps us. If we could understand what God is trying to do with the hardships that come. And we've been through hardships. And if you understand what God is trying to do in your life, we don't always understand. From the bottom up, it doesn't always look very pretty. But from the top down, God sees a beautiful picture that he's trying to make us complete, perfect in. And if we can receive it that way, what about the excuses that we make? Somehow, when I make excuses in the midst of our hardships, in the midst of our trials, maybe it's the faults that were pointed out to me, and I make excuses. What happens to what God is trying to do in my life? What happens? Doesn't it just sort of vanish, what God is really trying to do, because I'm making excuses for myself? What God is trying to help me learn, I don't get it. Even so, I can justify and tell the other person, why I said what I did. And I can just lay it out just how it was. And justify myself. But I probably am not going to get what God wants to teach me. Letting patience have her perfect work. Being defensive isn't patience. Something that has been helpful for me in considering this thing of growing in patience and letting patience have her perfect work. And I still need to grow in this area, but here's what has been helpful for me. When you're in the middle of a situation, when you're in the middle of the breakdown or the flat tire, when you're already running late, when you're in the middle of that, or that slow vehicle that just pulled out in front of you, and or the traffic jam that you're in, and you have to get there. You see, we get this get there manitis sometimes. Just stop and consider this. What will this be like in relation to eternity? In relation to eternity, that spilled milk all over the table. When I was already short, when we were short. In light of eternity, do you follow where I'm going with that? In light of eternity, the cows got out and ran all over the garden, ate all the carrot tops off and all the peas and whatever else. Or in light of eternity, It matters more how I respond to this situation, letting patience have her perfect work. Why? So that we can be complete and tire, wanting nothing. Do I really need to get bent out of shape over something that just broke and I was almost finished? See, we don't see our tests and trials like God intends, and then we react. How has it been for you? Have you all learned patience? Have you all learned patience? It would be interesting to hear your testimonies and the tests that you've encountered about letting patience have her perfect work. Maybe it's your failings. You know, I think it's good for us. The Bible talks about confessing our faults one to another so that we can be healed. Just open confession. You know, here is an area that I've been struggling in. Some of you probably have a better grip on this than I do about letting patience have her perfect work. But my heart, my goal is to be perfect, to be complete, of full age, entire, wanting nothing. And God will give you plenty of opportunities. God is going to give you plenty of opportunities to be this way. But we have to be exercised in this area of patience and letting patience have its perfect work. In other words, we're not going this way against what God is sending, but we're saying, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? In the midst of these breakdowns, in the midst of these most frustrating times, God, what are you trying to say? Seems God has us in different grades, doesn't he? Different grades for us to pass. And then he moves us on to a new level. We think, oh, now we've gained. Now we're doing pretty well. And then he sends another level our way. And we go reeling again, trying to figure it out and trying to grow. You see, I'm in grade 57 now. That's where I'm at. And I don't know what grade you're in, but that's where I'm at. And I'm still learning. And I think I'll be that way until I draw my last breath. I do think it'll take a lifetime to grow into all that God wants me to learn. Could it be that God is letting something come my way so that I can be complete, entire, wanting nothing? Just want to end here with a quote from Roy Bennett. I think he said it well. Patience is not the ability to wait. Patience is to be calm no matter what happens. Constantly taking action to turn it to a positive growing opportunity and believing it will work out in the end while I wait. That's a pretty powerful little truth there. That's what I've been trying to communicate, letting patience have her perfect work, taking the opportunities that God is sending my way and turning them into positive growing opportunities for my own life spiritually. Try that. Try that little phrase when you're in that traffic jam and the traffic is slow and you have that get there manitis. Let patience have her perfect work. God bless all of you. Let's grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus together. Thank you.